let me see. I would like to read Psalm 22 to you. This is an example of a verse, of which there are many, that is just really powerful to me and keeps me motivated in coming to the Lord with my needs. So Psalm 22:27 is an incredible promise. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. So as we care for our missionaries, and as we care for the things that matter to them, which is the nation, the people, and the place that they have been called to serve and have gone to, we can remember that the ruler of the whole universe has this promise for us. And when we remember his promise and we remind him of this promise, there's just this interaction between us and our Lord that is very hope-giving and faith-building and keeps us in a proper perspective that he is able to accomplish these things that are heavy. So that's one aspect of praying for our missionaries, is the things that burden them, is that initial calling that called them overseas. And how many people were in the session this before lunch with the iceberg in the main? Yeah, so there's all these other things that we want to be praying for also for our missionaries, things that don't get written in newsletters. They're not easy to talk about, but they're still significantly stressful or time-consuming. And so we're going to actually start by doing a prayer activity on that kind of a topic. And then we'll also be praying for other things after that. Okay? So the last thing I want to say before we start to pray is that one aspect that's important to me, it has been important to me in learning to pray, has been the story of when Hezekiah, raise your hand if you have any recollection of this story. So Sennacherib is coming to attack, and he sends the scroll up to Hezekiah with the threat. And what does Hezekiah do with the scroll? He takes it to the Lord. He lays it out before the Lord, and he lays down, and he says, "What do I do?" And that is our role as we pray. And it's actually a really good place of being open to creativity, because it's saying, here's this issue, now what? And it's opening ourselves to the Lord's input at that point. So I don't know about you guys, but a lot of times missionary prayer requests come to us in like details, a lot of the story and what's happened, and please pray this for us. So there's room for that too. And we can also talk about in the Q&A at the end, like, how do you pray creatively when they've given you like the page-long version of what they want us to pray about? I'm talking more about taking a step back from that moment and saying, this is burdensome to them, and so now we take that to the Lord and we lay it before him and we say, what do we do, Lord? How do you want us to pray? What do you have to say? How do you want to lead me and use me in prayer in this situation? So it might be something that's on their list. It might be something that they didn't put on the list. Maybe they wanted to. Maybe they didn't think of it themselves or whatever. But it's a starting point. So a couple keys for us to keep in mind, and then we will group up in three or four, mostly threes and fours, I think, is what's going to work in here. Creativity is helped by keeping our prayers short. So a couple sentences. Some of us, like me, are rather long-winded, and we could pray the whole prayer meeting. That's not helpful for prayer creativity. It's not helpful for group prayer. You can give the tap of love to the person next to you if they're going on and on in a sermon. The second thing is single-topic praying. So we'll practice that with our second activity where we pray from Psalm 24. If you... When you're praying a topic and you come to the end of that, many of us have prayed enough that we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit bringing up the next thing that we want to pray about. But he's probably already prompting someone else in your group to also pray that and to give them that chance and just pause. Introverts tend to need about a 10-second pause between people in a prayer group before they're ready to jump right in there. And extroverts tend to need the tap of love. So So look around you and find two or three others who are near you. And then raise your hand if you only have two. You only have two. So let's try not to do fives. So that's two. So she could go up there. Three or four. That's four. Great. Okay. Yeah, I'll explain that next. Okay, so one person, just quickly right now, volunteer within each of your little groups, even though you don't know what you're volunteering for. All right, good, good, brave souls. That's right. Just volunteer. All right. Everyone have a volunteer in their group? Okay. So, you volunteers, you're going to bring up one issue of a missionary you are caring for, and you're going to explain it in a sentence or two right now to your small group. This is the issue in its essence, okay? Go ahead. Okay. So that's great. Good job. So what we're going to do right now is lay that before the Lord like Hezekiah did. And we're going to take a moment of quiet and listen to the Lord. Now, I don't know how comfortable this is for all of you. Most people will feel comfortable with at least a scripture coming to mind. So if you're feeling uncomfortable with having a minute of listening to the Lord, ask the Lord, what scripture do you want to say? If you're more comfortable with a wider breadth of what you're listening for, you might be open to receiving a picture in your mind, or a thought, or a sensation. Different people are different ways, but write it down. Don't diss it when you get it, because you never know. So I'm going to give you a short testimonial early on in me learning to listen to the Lord's leading. It was with a charismatic group that I was praying. It was somewhat uncomfortable for me, but the Lord taught me a lot in that day. And the word peony came to my mind, and I decided not to diss it. I told the lady, peony came to mind. She said, that was my flower in my wedding bouquet, and I've been asking the Lord if he wants me to dedicate my first priority attention to my marriage in the coming year. Thank you so much for being a vessel from the Lord. I didn't know what peony meant for her. Peony felt like a very unspiritual thing to listen to. Maybe you can resonate with that. So just be open to the Lord using you in a way that might be something you never hear feedback on even. But that's an example of a time that I did get to hear feedback and hear that the Lord used something that I could have disregarded. But scripture is always, it actually is in the same vein, because without the Holy Spirit to interpret that, and why is he bringing that scripture up to mind, without him bringing that relevancy to the person or to your prayers, it's the same thing, right? We need him to like bring that alive. So as we're going to listen right now for a minute or two, feel free to jot down what you hear, even if you don't know the person that was just shared about, because you can pass that on to that person through the volunteer who just shared the situation, okay? So let's have a minute or two of quiet. How did that go? How many of you were able to incorporate what you heard or saw in that moment of quiet into your prayer time. Raise your hand. How many found it challenging to figure out how to incorporate it?
What I wanted to know.
Yeah, sure.
Do I stay quiet and listen, or do I say, Lord, fill me, Lord, show me, Lord? So I was conflicted. I didn't know how to.
I think it's different with different people, but that's how I am too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's more of an interaction with the Lord about it. Yeah, I'm not a very quiet person. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other questions or comments?
I was the volunteer in the group.
Yeah.
And so I knew the person. And
yeah.
I was conflicted between, was I hearing something from the Lord, or do I just know
Sure. Of course, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very normal. That's how most of us are when we're praying for, on missions committees or something. You know a whole lot about it. They've written and asked for prayer about it, right? Or you're getting a newsletter, or they're sitting right there telling you they need to talk it out. They need to give the long version of it to this safe group, right? But to still grow in attentiveness to the light focusing in on something that you can say, I think that's from the Lord, and then just praying about it. Yeah, and not worrying too much about, is this because I knew about this and it bugs me, or is this because the Lord is really pointing that out? Yeah, and a lot of times you'll see that there's a theme in the group, and it might be helpful to take a 1 or 2 minute pause from praying to just note that and say, look how 4 out of 5 of these things are really pointing at X. Let's spend some extra time praying about how those coordinate. That, you know what I mean? Okay. So, how many of you are in some kind of a prayer group for missionaries, like a missions committee? Most of you are. Okay. So this was an example of praying for issues that are bothering them. And they can sometimes be something that's more ministry-ish. And then sometimes there are all those other issues, like we just mentioned, like in the iceberg, right? Something that doesn't sound as spiritual, but it's still significantly stressful, time-consuming, expensive, taxing, traumatizing. So that's an example of how you can just lay that before the Lord and ask for His insight into how to pray about that. Okay? So we're going to do a different prayer activity now, about kind of a different aspect. So when you step back a step and look at your missionary's place of service and their people that they've gone to serve, and you say, well, who are these people? It actually interacts a lot. That question interacts a lot with that iceberg. So when you step back and look at the 7 mountains of influence, you could call them, those 7 things describe a lot of what that iceberg is of what that missionary is encountering, and how you can pray into from a lot of different angles for what your missionary is living in the midst of. So marriage and family in that culture, education, government, religion, media, arts, entertainment, and business. Okay? So for example, let's say from this seminar this morning, they're dealing with a visa mess. So that's government, you know, and stepping back and not just praying for your missionary's visa issue, but also praying for all those officials. What an awesome opportunity to interact with all those visa officials. What a chance to pray for the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and for the country's how they view foreigners, how they view Jesus followers. So what we're going to do right now is have a different volunteer in your group, and you can pick one of those 7, and a missionary you know, connect those 2. It doesn't have to be a particular situation, like this person is dealing with a visa issue, therefore we're going to pray for this person, but so that we can actually pray for a person and an aspect of their culture that they're in. This is another way that we can care for our missionaries, is by knowing better the people that they're living amongst, giving them that space to explain something to us, and then entering into praying about it is a gift for them. We can say, well, I had this scripture come to mind about this, and they can say, that's okay, you know, what does that mean for this government issue? And they can spend some more time praying about that. Does that kind of make sense? So, yeah. Yeah, okay. arts, entertainment, business, family, marriage, media, education, government, and religion. And as someone who is from a country with zero ancient church and a very, very small local church, I would like to highly encourage you to not just pray for believers in a religion category. Pray for brothers and sisters who are yet to be. Pray for the unbelievers who interact with those seekers. Make it the full breadth of religion, the religion category. So, different volunteers in each little group. Go ahead and signal. And then pick a person and just give a short description to your little group. To God for the opportunity and the privilege to pray for these things that we know they're important to you. We know you see them. You know all the details, and yet you've allowed us to partner with you in being speaking out truth and blessing and praying, asking for the healing that is desperately needed in these people and places. And thank you for that honor that you show us by calling us into partnership with you in that. In Jesus' name, amen. So I hope you see that one of my main points was that prayer is easier caught than taught. I hope that one way that you can grow in praying creatively is to pray more together in your groups. It's very easy to talk and share a lot, and it's also very good to spend that time together praying because of the synergy that happens and the momentum that's built as we pray together for people and places. So that's true as you interact with the missionaries you're praying for too. They love being prayed for. They also love being prayed with. So think about how you can do that in the different contexts that you're with those people, and asking questions that help them grow and think about how to communicate what they're dealing with. And this, like this activity that we just finished, you know, helping, drawing them out and saying, okay, so like in this situation, you're dealing with this kind of a family situation. How is that happening around you? And how is God using, what is God doing in your life? And what is he doing through you in that? I mean, that's just an example of one of the ways God can use you in that interaction with the missionary. As you show that you've been praying for them, you know, but you're also showing that you're paying attention to what God is doing through that. So as a field person, I really appreciate those who are outside the pot. I'm in the pot, the water's getting hotter and hotter, and I'm missing things. But someone who's outside the pot and asking good questions can really draw out some very important things and draw my attention to what God is up to in it. So how many of you were able to pray for not just the way that that issue affected a missionary, but also the surrounding culture? How many of you felt like you could draw both of those aspects in? Okay. How many of you found it challenging, and what questions or comments do you have about that?
Mm-hmm. You know, I wonder if sometimes it helps us to have that, I don't know if you want to call it a holy imagination.
Yes.
I don't imagine myself at that age.
That's right.
What would I need? How might I pray for the things that come to mind?
Exactly. Yeah. That's right. And I think that's a great point for those that maybe didn't hear, is just having a holy imagination, just letting God work through your imagination to think about what's going on there and how to pray related to that. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were praying for my family who are missionaries.
Okay.
And since they know all their lives, we types of things we want to be praying for them, but I thought these gals really demonstrated the broader view of stepping back and, you know, looking at full cultures in each area, education systems and things like that, rather than the day-to-day stuff. So that was really encouraging to me. I liked what I heard and stuff, and that will help me going forward.
Yeah, good. So those of you who had volunteered, make sure you jot down a few of the things that got prayed for so you can pass that on to the person you were praying for, since you're the link. That hearing specifics of what was prayed for is a very helpful and encouraging thing for field people. So I'm glad you brought that up. Sorry, what's your name?
Your name? Gail.
Gail brought up a great point of dreaming, being in the position of a dreamer. What will it look like when God brings restoration to the whole culture? So as missions committee people, it's very important for you to know and be tuned in to not just the religious aspect of a culture being restored. God's will is to restore all things. And those mountains of influence are a picture of the many ways that God's bringing restoration. So he's bringing restoration to family life, not just about religious topics within family life, but about talking about ethics, about talking about sharing toys, about those aren't religious categories within the family, but he's bringing restoration, he's bringing redemption in all those ways. So dreaming about that, that's a way that God uses us, our imaginations, and helping us think about how he will restore. Yeah. Good. Thanks, Gail. So the last thing we'll do is pray through a psalm. So pull up Psalm 24 on your phones, or if you brought a Bible. We're going to only pray through the first 8 verses. I would recommend 5 to 10 verses as a manageable chunk. And this is a helpful activity for getting the quieter people in your prayer team involved. Sometimes, especially when prayer is getting crowded to the last 10 minutes of your hour and a half meeting, it can be a way to broaden out the who gets to be involved in it. It also helps us to step away, like this man was telling us, step away from the details that we know too well, and say, and just let God speak into it straight from Scripture. So let me open mine, and I'll give you an example. Does everybody have Psalm 24 open? So a different volunteer, go ahead and signal in your little group. And go ahead, yeah, if it's not obvious, then you probably are in a group of 4. So go ahead and tell your little group the name of a person and the people group or the country, if they're not just a people group focused, the name of the city or the people group. So, for example, you could the name of the family and either their city or people group. Go ahead and tell your group. Okay, so for example, we in my small group up here will be praying for Karen with the Uzbeks. So as I pray through the verses, it's when it's my turn, and I'm going to pray for verse 1. I'm going to read the verse, and then I'm going to pray a short single topic prayer from verse 1. And I'm going to pray it either by name for those missionaries, or I'm going to pray it for the people group that they're working amongst, or the city, if that's their focus. The earth is the Lord's in the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. God, you are the Lord of the Uzbeks. The Uzbeks are yours. That's what I would pray for that. That's what came to my mind right now. It's a single topic prayer. It keeps the momentum flowing. That's something that helps creativity in prayers. And we go on. I have a short pause. The next person reads out verse 2 and prays off of verse 2. You just go around until you finish the psalm. Okay?
I'm going to pray for you. sick and from Ukraine, right now.
Lord, the earth is the Lord, and the Lord, the earth is yours, Lord, and everything is yours, and all of the world, when you found that I'm here, and you shall return.
Thank you, God, for your word. Thank you for the way that you speak into our hearts and minds as we pray through giving us your word. Shape us and form us and, according to these precious truths and promises and commands and examples that you've given us. And help us, help our prayers, Lord, to be more and more shaped by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how many of you felt like that was something that you've done before?
Not like that.
Similar-ish. Okay. Like it was that. A new experience for others of you, probably. So, I'm going to, so extroverts, did it feel like it was kind of constraining? Or, like, does anyone want to comment on that? People who usually want or have words to pray and have things to say in the in prayer. Anybody want to comment? Yeah.
I really liked it because I feel like it gives you like words that you know are straight from the mouth. You know, something like you want to pray with the Lord that you pray.
Yeah.
And if you turn straight to scripture, then it's like an automatic.
Yeah. It's a win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks. Other comments from extroverts? Introverts, you're next. I'll give you a moment to think about that. Okay, that was a moment. So
that's what we need when we pray, especially when you're looking at a verse on behalf of somebody else, a person or a family or a people or a government or a region of the world. It takes a while to look at that verse. You know, introvert pathways are longer than extrovert pathways, so it really does take a while, and that in this format, I have a chance. This is my verse. I'm going to get to it.
Yep.
But I was given that space.
Yep.
Because of the process.
That's right. That's right. So it's a gift to the introverts in your circle when you let them take their turn.
Yep.
And you give them time to, you can take a minute to think. You can say out loud, I really don't quite know what to pray for from this verse. It's okay. It's an interaction as a body and with the Lord of what is this verse having to say here? This obviously is relevant, so how? It's not always immediately apparent. Yeah. But it's a gift to the group, and it's a kindness to the introverts to give them that space and to let them have their turn. It's also fine to pray more off the verse that's already passed. It's a guide to praying more from Scripture. It's not, you know, a tight jail of you. This is all you can pray about. But make sure you don't take license with that, with expanding into multiple topics and taking up more and more of your turn so that there's less time for the introverts, because that's really what this is especially helpful for, is making sure each person gets some time, some space. Yeah.
And I can't help but not think that there is power in praying God's word, because it gives a voice of authority into very difficult situations and brings healing to the people who hear the voice.
Yeah.
Reminds them of what they already know.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. There's some topics we might never touch on if we didn't have that passage that we decided to pray off of. So don't be afraid when you're picking a passage to pray. Like, is this really the one passage? I mean, they're really, it's amazing how relevant so many different passages can be to be in various situations. This past couple years, we were stunned at how many psalms deal with besieged cities. There's a lot of really relevant psalms for when you're being besieged. Is there one more?
So you always pick a passage
ahead of time. I do. Yep. And I aim for 5 to 10 verses, just no matter what size of group. So when I'm leading a prayer time, we don't usually have 25 people in one location in our country, but we always split up into groups small groups of 3 to 5 when we're beyond 5 people. So if we have 6 people, we do 2 groups of 3. It keeps the momentum going. It gives everyone some airtime. It multiplies how much praying space there is. I don't know about you guys, but when I'm in a group that's much larger than that, even I don't get much airtime. So it's just, it's a helpful. And then mix up the groups if you want. I think that makes it fun. But yes, I would pick the passage beforehand. As the leader of that prayer time, I would spend a few minutes quietly just asking the Lord to bring a passage to mind, and then not trouble myself or question too much, like, is that the one? You know. Well, this is one of them.
Yeah.
Psalm 24. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 35 is an important one for us. Psalms is Isaiah 61 also.
What I liked is we spent more time praying than talking about prayer, talking about the prayer request. We just jumped into it. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And therefore, it ends up being more Holy Spirit dependent, because we don't always know the details of the thing that we've decided to pray about with that passage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In your case, you did. You know the same person that you're talking about, but you can imagine how if you didn't, you'd just be all the more dependent on the Holy Spirit to figure out how that verse applies to that person or place. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're going to close with the last prayer activity. We're going to sing a song that we all know, I Love You, Lord, and we are singing it as a prayer. We're singing it alongside our brothers and sisters in various parts of the world. We're singing it on behalf of those who are not yet singing this song. This is a prayer song. So be brave and raise your hand if you do not know, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. Okay. So join in when and if you recognize it, okay? So we're singing this alongside the body, and we're singing it on behalf of those who are not yet worshiping and singing out their love to the Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. Lord, and we give you the love of our hearts, and we join with many around the world in the body of Christ and the different members, those that we know about and know personally, and the many that we don't. And we speak out, we repeat that we love you. We have many reasons to love you, and we're thankful for your love for us that started us loving you. Thank you for inspiring us to pray and focusing us on using us during this time. I pray that you would bless these people and the committees and missionaries that they represent as they go out from this place. I bless them with creativity to be able to pray more and be vessels of your kingdom coming in them and through them to the corners of the world. And I pray that they would be encouraged today at the power and authority that they have through Jesus to bring your blessing, your healing, your restoration to the world through their role in praying for missionaries and encouraging them. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Ask you a couple questions specifically about prayer. So I'm a senior at Bethany, and I got back from 13 months in Serbia, and I was one of the prayer coordinators in the church. So coming back, I was like, oh my gosh, prayer is so important, and I want to like do it more, facilitate it more. I was wondering if you had any like.